Radio, Public Radio.
This is not a test. This is reality.
For ZeroPointRadio.com, I'm Clyde Lewis. With the events unfolding in the world right now, it is becoming alarming as to the accuracies of the discussions at the Ground Zero Lounge. If you listen to any of the most recent Ground Zero Lounge shows replayed on this radio station, you will see that everything spoken of at these events is taking place now. If you want accurate information about what is in store for your future, I ask you to remain listening to ZeroPointRadio.com and ask your friends and neighbors to spread the word. We are proud of our programming and want you to rely on it for its compelling and accurate portrayal of what plans are in store for the country. Many of these Ground Zero shows were recorded much earlier in the year. Many of them have been recorded 6 years ago. What Ground Zero talked about in the past is now in your present. And what we are giving you now is not a test. It is the future.
Enthusiasm. Thank you so much for coming out to the Ground Zero Lounge tonight. Let's hear it loud and proud for ZeroPointRadio.com for broadcasting us tonight. Hey, I want to make a point to let you know that I have decided, and I am doing this now, I started last week, ZeroPointRadio.com, Friday night usually, I guess it's going to be more of a Friday night thing, from 10 until midnight, I'm going to be doing a live show from my house. So, yeah. I'm doing a live show. I'm doing a live show like a radio show. I'm doing the Ground Zero show online from my home. We were able to set up a live feed on my computer, and so I'm going to start doing my show from home as well as doing it here at the Ground Zero Lines. We were trying to set up the feed tonight. We've been having a lot of technical difficulties getting that going on for the feed. But eventually we're going to be live here at the Ground Zero Lounge as well. I've been telling people to come in at 8, and yes, of course, I was getting people into the mode of coming in at 8 o'clock because we were going to start at 8 o'clock, but lately we've been starting late because we've been trying to get the feed up, and it's been failing. But we'll get the feed up eventually, and when we do, we're going to go live from Dante's here. So give that a round of applause. Let's hope for that. Probably next week, I think, for sure. And every time I think we're going to go live, I want to do a really important show. It's just going to blow the shit out of everybody. And every time I do it, but it's like it's not live, so we have to wait for it to be recorded. And tonight's show is going to be one of those shows. And what's really, really weird is every time I do a show that I think everybody should see more than any other show, I would say, oh, this show has got to be the show. You know, every show that I do I feel is important, but some shows I feel are more important than other shows. And the reason why is because what these shows what they talk about, what they predict, and what they bring forth is why I wish more people would come to these shows. I mean, we've been having a lot of great crowds. We have a small crowd tonight. They're a great, loud crowd. I'm pleased about that. But an even larger crowd would even need to know this information more than anyone else. And so tonight, maybe it's good that we have a smaller crowd. The reason why is because there's a lot of material to get to. And I do want you to get up and speak. There's a microphone here and a microphone here. You can get up and speak. If you want to add your 2 cents or your 50 cents or your full dollar or your $10 or 20 or whatever you want to do, depending on how much you got on your mind, we'd like to have that on the microphone. Now, I'd like to also make mention of something, and it hasn't been a big problem, but it does happen occasionally. It's been happening like one every other week or so. If you have something to say, and it's not on topic, please don't come up here, say what you have to say, and then come back because it's not addressed. You're going to come back and you're going to say it again in hopes that we change the entire show that I prepared this week for you. Okay? Not going to happen. You can get up and you can say something, and if it does, if it's germane to what we're talking about, or if it is, if we decide that we're going to go that direction and throw it all out, then fine. But if I decide I'm going to move on to another point, then please respect that. Don't get up and think that, you know, they've come to see you. Okay? We've had a couple people do this the past couple weeks, and I'm getting to the point where I'm going to have the ushers just throw them out. Because it's just not kosher to what we're doing here. We got information we got to get out. If you have some information that's vital, that's adding to the show, if you get some information that nobody knows about, it's a great point. By all means, do it. This is your freedom of speech place, but you know what? If you're going to get up here and tell people that, you know, I believe in God and you don't believe in God, and you're going to go on and on and on about your little, you know, soapbox, okay, get your own show and do it down the street. Okay? Yeah. Because you can. If you, you know, if you're good enough, you can do a show. I don't mind. I love the competition. I don't care. So anyway, let's get on with the show. Fantastic. Tonight's show is called The Perfect Cytokine Storm. Now, this show is going to really, really, really help you out in figuring out what's going on with a number of things we talked about in past Ground Zero shows. In fact, this show that I was working on was so compelling that my fiance Janine took over and started writing as well. So this show is co-written by her. And the reason why was because she knew a little something about what I was talking about, and she said, you know, I'm no conspiracy theorist. Sometimes I think your ideas are outrageous, Clyde, but tonight I'm working on this because I think that you're onto something, and I want you to get some points out there that are very important. Not only that, but remember Sadie Gregg by applause? Sadie Gregg, she worked at News of Ground Zero. Her fiancé is a pharmacist, and he also wanted to talk about this with us, but he and Sadie have now moved to Boston. So give Sadie a hand. She's flown the coop. She's in Boston now. She's going to be an opera singer. Sadie's going to be an opera singer. That's amazing. But yeah, so we've got a number of people who've been really interested in this show tonight. So this is going to be a blockbuster show. And for those listening online, take notes because this show is going to be one of the shows that you're really going to want to refer to over and over again, The Perfect Cytokine Storm. Obama's health plan, for those of you that have been watching the news, have been noticing that Obama's health plan really has got a lot of people pissed off. They're getting up in their town hall meetings, they're yelling and screaming and stammering and getting all bent out of shape about what's going on with this. And you know what? It actually looks as though people are doing meaningful protests now. But the truth is, I'm beginning to feel that maybe these protests are based primarily on fear and bad information. A lot of bad information is coming out there about the health care plan and about what's going on with Barack Obama's health care plan. And while I'm not here to defend the health care plan, I am here to at least tell you that what is being said and the fear tactics are being used to get people to not pay attention to this health care plan are really beginning to piss me off. And the reason why is because it is an alternative, and yes, people can have the opportunity if they so choose. It's a matter of choice. I'll tell you what, if they give you a choice and you turn around and you get rid of that choice and respond to it the way you're responding to it without, like I say, if you go into an investigation with contempt, you're going to come out basically not learning anything from the process. So all these people are concerned, and the reason why they're concerned is for very valid reasons. Sarah Palin came out of the woodwork and frothing at the mouth as former Alaskan governor and said, you know what, I don't want to be able to take my little son who's got Down syndrome and hold him up to one of Obama's death panels to see if he can get insurance. First of all, I want to tell Sarah Palin something. Shut your fucking mouth. Two, I'll tell you why to shut your fucking mouth. Because here's the deal, Sarah Palin. You were governor of Alaska. You're also a vice presidential nominee. You screwed up both of those. Not only that, you tell us you don't want your kids used as pawns in any of your fucking politics, yet you use them all the time. You went after David Letterman. You called him a pedophile. You're a fucking idiot because he's not. Okay? And now, you're basically saying, don't you exploit my children, David Letterman! And she holds a retarded son up to everybody and says, I don't want my son to be sitting there on the death panel. Sarah Palin, shut up. Please shut up. Yes. Shut your fucking mouth, because the reason why, I mean, everybody has a right to say something, but you know what? When you start talking out of your ass, it's time to shut the fuck up. Sarah Palin is doing that. You know, and what she's doing is she's got the political football into play again about the health care deal, and it just is, I mean, making up this whole damn bullshit about the death panel, it's only half right. Her comment was actually based on a provision in the health care bill written by Oregon Representative Earl Blumenauer. Here's some booing. Earl Blumenauer that states that Medicare would pay doctors for voluntary death counseling and end-of-life care. Basically saying that if a senior citizen's health changes, doctors could give counseling on what would be the most economic and effective way to treat the patient. I got that when I had cancer. Okay? I got counseling from doctors before I had cancer about what my options are because I didn't know if I had enough insurance to cover my cancer. And I really didn't. And so they gave me the big old 6 months to live, and they asked me if I had my life in order. I told them, no, I don't. I didn't have time to get my shit together because I was told I had cancer, 6 months to live, and I had to go get the shit taken care of or I'd die. I told them, I says, look, I'm just kind of saying let things go and throw me there in the operating room, cut me open on Thanksgiving, I'll be ready to rock like a turkey. They said, okay, if that's the way you're looking. I said, damn right, that's the way I'm looking. Let's go for it. Let's get the shit out of my body before I croak. And they did it. But see, that's what I mean. And Palin is pinning all of this on Obama. These death panels are all Obama's fault. Well, you know what? They're not Obama's fault. I mean, we've already had plans in play to send people to death camps if their health becomes a threat to the population. We've talked about it right here at the Ground Zero Lounge. Okay? We've talked about these things, and I've written about these things, too. A proposal called the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act has been lingering for some time after the attacks on September 11, 2001. It was the first recommended thing. Actually, it was recommended as a means to help states protect citizens against bioterrorist attacks and deal with national defense issues. It happened after the anthrax scares. Now, the proposal deals with a number of horrific scenarios calling for new military police powers, all in the name of controlling epidemics for infectious diseases during public health emergencies. Details of the proposal can be found online in my 2005 article, The Harm Principle, which was published by the Idaho Observer. So if you go online and type in FEMA Unmasked, The Harm Principle, Clyde Lewis, Idaho Observer, you will see the article that I wrote on this, and it's in detail. It's published in that and in several other places on the Internet and online in magazines. So my research about the Model Emergency Health Standards Act, Powers Act, actually, has been well documented. And if they decide that they want to declare a public health emergency, which they came close when the World Health Organization went to 5, governors and public health officials would be empowered to force individuals suspected of harboring an infectious disease to undergo medical examinations, track and share an individual's personal health information, including genetic information, force persons to be vaccinated, treated, or quarantined for infectious diseases. This includes being arrested, imprisoned, and forcibly examined, vaccinated, and medicating you and your children without your consent. The government will not be held liable if these actions result in your death or in your injury. Now, I want you to keep notes on this because this is what is happening now. This is not conspiracy theory. This is not some cockamamie idea. These are documented and they will be implemented if need be. The whole idea of this type of control was tossed around during the Bush administration, and no one blinked. Many of the ideas proposed are being carried out anyway with the Obama administration. These just happen to be going on with Obama in charge with a health care plan in place. The government wants plausible deniability when their cure and solutions fail. They want no liability and no excuses. Either way, you can lose. Nothing is sure. Sarah Palin sounded an alarm for political reasons and not to benefit anyone. She is clueless. And so are most Americans on the issue of diseases and vaccines. Okay? They are. They don't know what's out there and what can get them. And many of them don't care to know because they don't want to be prepared. You know, after Sarah Palin said what she said, she actually had to retract her statements. Because it caused so much harm that she had to say, well, I'm sorry I said what I said, but I'm sorry I said what I said, but, you know, I really don't want anyone to think, you know, that we're crazy or anything. I don't want anybody to criticize us Republicans per se. I mean, like you're representing what every Republican thinks, Sarah Palin. No, you know, you are only speaking for Sarah Palin. It's your only benefit, and you just want to attack Barack Obama. Now, you know, I have never really defended Obama or anyone else for that matter, but this is where I have to step in and say, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Okay, you don't know what you're talking about, so please don't say anything. You're just causing trouble. And another thing that's irritating me is how, you know, when you're looking at this bipartisan demagoguery going on with every push-button social issue, Americans always sucker into it, and when cornered about why they believe certain things about an issue, they always find themselves quoting some talking head from Fox or MSNBC. Always happens. You always hear a phrase, it's a soundbite, that someone decides they're going to mimic just to be clever. It's either something out of the Obama camp or something out of the old Republican camp, and they're like saying something like, I heard this poor guy was saying, well, they've elected 12 czars. They've elected 12 czars. And that's all he could say. I mean, meaningful protest means that you get some research done for your protest. And when somebody confronts you and asks you, why are you standing out here protesting, you can say to them, because I feel that my constitutional rights are being violated, and I support constitutional rights, and that's why I'm standing here. Not because some asshole who told me that I could win $1,000 dressing up with a Joker could get me some sort of fame. Okay? I'm just saying right now that this does more damage than it does good. It does more damage than it does good, and it makes people look bad. Especially those, you know, because most Americans, in my opinion, are incapable of discussion or take the time to care about anything except when they're cued by their partisan controllers or faced with imminent disaster. No one wants to say anything or get angry about anything until they're facing imminent disaster. Otherwise, they just sit idly by, and then when somebody else gets pissed off, I'm pissed off too, and I'll stand here and get pissed off with you. Are we going to do anything about it? No, we're just going to go to work tomorrow. No, we're just going to sit around the house and be unemployed. Nah, we're okay with it. It's change. Change we love. Yeah. It's not change. It's not happening. And you know what? They provide the problem. You supply the reaction. They provide the solution. And that's how it's always going. We live in the Hegelian dialectic. It's going to continue that way until people pay attention and until people who come to the Ground Zero Lounge spread the word. Because it's important that you tell people this is what's happening, because it's obvious that it is happening this way. The norm that we're living in now, the uninformed norm, is what is going to kill us all. Reactionary responses in the Hegelian dialectic makes everyone look foolish and desperate, and when people are desperate, they make stupid decisions. I give you September 11th, 2001. We're all afraid that we're all going to die in a terrorist attack. We all had our rights taken from us, and no one's doing anything to get them back because they know that they can't. We surrendered them without even blinking because we were so goddamn scared. And you know what? People are saying, I'm not going to take that vaccine. Well, let me tell you something. You'd take it if you felt that your ass would be in jail. They can make it hard on you. And everyone has their price. Everyone does. And I know you think I'm being harsh, but man, I'll tell you what, I saw a lot of people when I was in 9/11, saw a lot of people who I thought were my friends and who I thought would stick by their guns turn into nothing but lily-white, pansy-ass fucks when they found out that they had to suck up to their government to keep their jobs. I lost my show because I stuck by what I believed in. I was taken off my national air because people wanted me to change the name of Ground Zero because they said, it's not very politically correct. Yeah, fuck you, I had it in 1995. And I still don't trust my government. And then people now, they're saying, well, I guess maybe we're a little hard on you back then. Yeah, I guess so. Now I'm broke. Thank you. Go ahead.
Didn't they also want you to change it after McVeigh?
Sure.
Yeah.
But that wasn't as bad, though.
But twice.
Yeah, twice they did.
And you stuck it out.
Yeah, but the thing is McVeigh wasn't as bad because with McVeigh, it was kind of like, well, he was a terrorist and he was American and really didn't have all that problem. But then when you have a government or you have a political football being tossed around like 9/11 was, people start playing their politics on you and they take money away from you and they make you basically beg. And I didn't, because I figured, you know, I'd like to wake up in the morning and feel good about myself. But sometimes, you know, you have to do what you have to do, I guess. There was an excellent point that was brought up regarding the death panels I wanted to bring up. First of all, if there are death panels in socialized medicine, then why is it we don't kill grandma in England? Why don't we kill grandma in Canada? Because it doesn't exist. The death panels exist elsewhere, but they don't certainly exist in the new socialized medicine healthcare plan. people are just getting misinformed. The death penalty idea that Sarah Palin had brought up circumvents the real issue about health care and the health of Americans in general. It also puts that crazy element into the zeitgeist, which in turn silences all arguments that perhaps in our quest for global sustainability, our leaders are looking for a way to kill off the populace or issue controls on birth. Even though it has been discussed in various UN meetings and G8 summits, the issue of global sustainability is real, and the solutions are all based in mortality rates and reproductive freedom. True. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. By the way, this isn't a library. If you want to applaud loudly, that'd be nice, too, because we're on the Internet. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Anyway, a recent report on CNN was eerily similar to a Ground Zero report we did a while ago called Genome 666 Project Purity, where the Octo mom Nadia Suleiman and the Duggar family's 18 children were used as examples of how supersized families are likely to be responsible for nearly 400,000 metric tons of greenhouse gas causing carbon dioxide emissions. We had talked about that. I had talked about the eugenics. I says, wouldn't we be great if we could just kill off the Octo mom? I was going, yeah! Kill off the Octo mom! Drown her babies! Yeah! Eugenics! Yeah! And they're all excited about it. I'm like, oh, boy, you guys really, really are like siding with Hitler, aren't you? Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's okay if you want to see those people die off. I mean, they're just basically wasting the system anyway. It's all part of global sustainability. Genome 666, we were talking about that, and we basically stated the back in March of the Octomom story, the Duggar family, and others are being used as Hegelian pawns. They are the crisis and the reaction, and the solution is that people are sick of these people living off the system and want them done away with. According to our report, the underlying agenda is that using these examples, people can easily see a need for population controls in order to guarantee global sustainability. We have proposed that global sustainability is the root agenda that exists in the global warming movement. After the Ground Zero Genome 666 report, it was then realized that a newly released Oregon State University study suggested that having multiple children may be the most environmentally damaging of all human activities. It was reported by CNN's Lou Dobbs that by simply having one less child, the study concludes that the same American would save more than 9,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide, almost 20 times the reduction of living greener. One less child, one less carbon footprint. We've already covered this, right? Yeah, some people applaud you. Yeah, kill the kids. Yeah, that's what England has been saying, kill the kids, abort the babies. The report featured in an interview with Professor Paul Murtaugh, who went out of his way to state that the study does not advocate particular policies of restrictions on reproductive freedom, but most certainly indicates that more people on the planet constitutes more strain on ecology. Hidden in the report was the idea that we need to have less kids and less people using resources in order to save the planet. Kill yourself, save the planet. That's what we all want, right? The Genome 666 report detailed that as the global planners hook you in with climate change and the socially engineered saving the planet from the environmental cataclysmic model, we could very well see in the future an urgency to justify laws requiring euthanasia, eugenic infanticide, feudal care provisions, weeding out those undesirable genetic propensities through the mapping of infants' genomes, literally marking them genetically for a predisposed outcome, a.k.a. Gattaca. I just saw ants the other day because that's all I had around my house, and Janine's little boy was there. Boy, that's an interesting show about there are workers, there are soldiers, and that there are people who are more superior, and they're going to get killed off. Boy, that was really kind of ironic that I was watching that. We don't need death panels to create a model for the global sustainability. We won't have to send grandma away when she's sick, and no need to kill the retarded babies because we already have the death panels in place. There are pundits like Howard Dean who say that we don't promote infanticide. We don't promote that sort of thing. Well, we do promote abortion, and we do promote euthanasia, and we do promote the idea that if you're dying, that please don't let us revive you because we don't want you eating up any more resources as a vegetable. We've got plenty of other vegetables to grow and eat. We don't need you taking up space on the planet. Thank you very much. There are death panels in place. They're not Obama's death panels, but the death panels have been in place ever since Agenda 21, when they all met together and decided they wanted to remove like 2/3 of the population so they could make it more sustainable. And how are they going to cull the planet? Who knows? But they have it in the playbooks. And plausible deniability is key when you want to kill off 2/3 of the population to save the planet from utter ruin. And that's all you hear about is utter ruin and how we're all doomed. The sifting out of human material was written about in Mein Kampf. Hitler had that on his mind, too. Separate those who are not the superior ones. Kill the Jews. Kill the gypsies. Kill the faggots. Kill them all. And kill the dissidents. Why? Because they're just taking up space. Bluten Bolton. Bluten Bolton. That's all they talked about. Go ahead.
I also want to mention that they want to kill you. You think that you are going to be the exception because you're smart and you know what's going on and you're just a little bit superior to all those stupid people. No, no, no. They want to kill you. You will be in the majority that they cull. Don't ever think they don't mean you.
Yeah, there's no genetic marker to distinguish you between being stupid and being the one they're not going to kill. You're all looking the same to them in the crosshairs. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, why the choice to have an abortion or the choice to opt for death if you think you're going to die. I'm very glad for you that you didn't die of your cancer, but some people know that they don't have a chance to survive.
Sure. Yeah.
Having those options.
I believe you should have a choice, yes.
Okay. And if there is a healthcare system in place that has a certain amount of money.
Right.
And say you want to do a quadruple bypass on somebody that you expect to live, years and you expect to live 20 years, you have to have limitations somewhere, right? Does that count as coping?
Yeah, well, I think what I don't want to be misunderstood here. What I want to get at is this. Yes, I think there should be abortion. There should be the choice. I think there should be a choice for euthanasia. I think there should be the choice. But don't tell me they're going to overturn it. They're not. Why? Because they have eugenics. They have eugenics provisions in play that will guarantee that we're going to off ourselves on our own. And they can off us by basically giving us poor health care, and they can off us by actually looking the other way during a war. So either way, you know, they have plausible deniability, and you're kind of stupid because you don't know that you're killing yourself. So go ahead and smoke. Okay? That's pretty much it. Go ahead.
I was always curious about the gypsies, why you'd want to eliminate them. I mean, they're very resourceful people. They can move around and adapt easily to different areas. And they have great, beautiful music, you know, flamenco. Just go back in history. I don't. That was a flawed part of the plan, getting rid of the gypsies.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I've never even really understood why they wanted to get rid of the Jews.
Me neither.
I don't see what it is about Jews. But, you know, who am I?
Yeah, I never understood it either. The death panels have been established here in the United States. The death panels are the pharmaceutical companies that overcharge for drugs. The death panels are doctors who refuse treatment because of lack of insurance. The death panels are those who want to see people die in order to maintain global sustainability. Death panels are not a product of Barack Obama. They are a product of the Hegelian rat catching, and we are the rats that they want to catch. Go ahead.
I'd like to share something I saw in The Economist, goodness, must have been 15 years ago. There were a couple of Jewish professors at Yale who studied in detail the old income tax records from Weimar Germany. And they did computer analysis like they couldn't have done before that time. It turned out that the income tax records did definitely indicate that Jews did relatively a lot better than everybody else in Germany. So there was a very strong envy kind of a thing. Also in Weimar Germany, there was a very strong conflict between traditional elites and rising elites. Another thing, there was a particular section of financial markets, international financial markets, that Jews specialized in because they were not allowed in most of the other areas. And it just happened that those areas that they had been specializing in for half a century or more turned out to be the only ones where you could save your ass. Envy.
Thank you for that. It's all about envy. Yeah, give me a hand for that. Some information. Thanks to things like pre-existing conditions, overpriced drugs, over-medicating with antibiotics, and untested vaccinations, we're already seeing the death panel at work. People are dying all the time, and many die because of medical mistakes or medical inducement of death. The eugenic population kill model has existed all along, and the secret agenda for culling a population must be done stealthily and with plausible deniability. Obama won't give us the death panel because it has already been established. And now somehow we finally wake up to it. Why? Because he's proposing a socialized program for medicine? Perish the thought. As I said before, Sarah Palin, shut your mouth. You're getting people alarmed about nothing. The death panels already exist, and Obama didn't make them. Other people made them. As predicted earlier in 2009, the Ground Zero Lounge reported that we would be hearing about doctor-assisted death, not by euthanasia, but by negligence. Pharmaceutical death and death by cure are now being reported in newspapers. In the Sunday Oregonian, it was reported that nearly 200,000 people have died after, on the advice of a doctor, took a medicine that killed them. The report is very timely when you consider the health care debate and the fear of death panels. Drugs can kill with or without socialized health care plans. We're already over-medicating ourselves and making ourselves vulnerable for sudden death. We can also look into the crystal ball and predict that with clarity that Michael Jackson will be used as a pawn in the new health care proposal as a perfect example of being killed by his own doctor. It will be found that iatrogenic manslaughter will be the cause of his death. His case will be exploited as an example of how a medical system run amok and how it needs more checks and balances and that it needs to be regulated and provided by the government. You see, there's more to this than a Republican versus Democrat, more to this than red state, blue state. It's about your life and death and doctors and politicians and how they use plausible deniability to cover up the fact that they just want to see you croak. They make all the money they can out of you, squeeze it all out of you, and then leave you to die. It's called iatrogenesis. Iatrogenesis is any adverse or physical condition induced in a patient through the effects of treatment by physician or surgeons. These are deaths caused by well-intentional cures, or maybe not. If we go beyond the issue of a single-day death panel argument and pay attention to what is being proposed, you can assume this universal health care plan is being groomed for an even bigger event. The plan will be reviewed in October, just in time for the flu season and the arrival of the H1N1 virus. This new and emerging disease seems to be generating some underlying panic brought on by political and economic design. The plagues, pandemics, and even the proposed mass inoculations are connected to money-generating operations. There are those who are saying that the whole swine flu pandemic is a hoax, mainly because it didn't affect them directly. However, all guns are being loaded for a battle this fall, and now we're hearing rumors of mandatory vaccinations for the virus. This is not a hoax, people. It's a real disease. Have respect for it. I want you to wash your hands. I want you to drink as much whiskey as you can and smoke a lot of pot because it will get rid of that fucking disease, I promise you. A lot of whiskey and pot, believe me. It'll compromise your immune system enough to save your ass. But see, people are telling you, oh, get a vaccine, get a vaccination. It's what you need. In fact, they're even deputizing medical authorities like dentists and firemen and all these people to give you the vaccination. They're going to do it here, too, I promise you. It's all going to be done because people are frightened about whether or not they're going to get sick and whether they're going to die from the flu when it's just a simple flu. It just has a term to it. The last time the government embarked on a major vaccine was when they did the swine flu again in 1976. And what happened there? They got in trouble because people died from it. And now what do? They have now taken out insurance for liability. So you can't sue the drug companies if you die this time around. You don't have a prayer. Rex Church, go ahead. Thank you for coming tonight. Give Rex Church a hand.
Hey, Clyde. I came in here kind of late, so I don't know whether you guys touched on the subject or not, but in so much as that you're talking about death squads and death programs being in place to get rid of people, there's also a self-inflicted form of removal of individuals from the planet that I called soft genocide, and that's basically people who choose not to have children. They choose not to reproduce. They go out and they adopt a pug or, you know, a dog from a shelter, and that becomes the child. They're not reproducing. And there are groups that are reproducing without question and without any kind of checks and balances. But if you look at Europe, there are groups of people there who are not reproducing whatsoever. In fact, the German people are going to be the smallest minority in the world by the year 2025.
Because they're not reproducing.
They're not reproducing. A lot of that is because of guilt.
Wow.
And so if you feel good about that, I guess you can clap your hands and or whatever. Then you have to deal with the other people who are reproducing. So, you know, your hand clapping can only go on for so long.
Well, Utah can only hold so many people.
Well, what I'm saying is that there are people who are choosing not to have any children.
Right.
And, you know, I don't particularly have a problem with that either. But I'm
right.
just saying that it's this form of self-inflicted genocide.
Right. Catherine, did you want to comment on what Rex has had to say?
No, on what you had to say here. Actually, the last...
Get right on the microphone, please.
The last time the government embarked on a major vaccination program was 1993.
Oh, what was that one?
Actually, what happened was in the senior citizens' homes, the death rate started to soar, and it was manufactured vaccines against the H1N1 flu virus. And
really?
Yes, absolutely.
Were they trials?
They were trials.
Wow, I didn't know that.
The death toll actually in 1993, and they've taken out the AIDS quotient. The death toll in 1993 is directly related to the government program of vaccination.
I'll have to look into it. 1993, old people were being vaccinated in 1993 with H1N1.
It was a government program that went to senior citizens' homes and vaccinated people like crazy.
Thank you for that. Give her a hand for that. I didn't know about that. Okay, we're going to go on. Move on. Think of it. We have provisions in place that would allow the president to declare martial law if he so chooses in the event of an epidemic. You can be jailed if you don't surrender your medical records showing that you're healthy. Drug companies are without liability if the vaccine kills anyone who gets it. They are deputizing people and authorizing them to give the shot if you need it and you want it and you're under suspicion. You know, God, it's just crazy. I mean, we're going to arm everybody with the shot. Come get your shot. I mean, this is something that I think needs to be done carefully, and it's just frightening to see that they're just going to do this. I talk about it. What's that? Get them in Safeway, yeah. I was going to point out to you, and I pointed out this before, if you take a look at the biological number for H5N1 virus for the United States and for the United Kingdom or the European Union, it is the number 666. EU 666, US 666. That's what they're using as a it is a biological war agent. It is used, it will be used as a biological war agent, the inoculation. That's what's frightening about it, is because it's that dangerous. It can also be attributed to State Bill 666, Biological, Chemical, and Radiological Weapons Counterterrorism Research Act, another proposal that has the number 666, and they're all basing around biological inoculations and vaccinations that can harm you. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I mean, this has been said here before, but just remember the vaccinations, the hepatitis B vaccinations that were given to New York gays and San Francisco gays directly caused AIDS.
Exactly, and I'm going to get to that. Thank you so much.
Smallpox vaccinations in Africa gave them AIDS.
Pertussis vaccinations of the soldiers gave them the Spanish flu. Give Bob a hand. I'm going to get into that. That's what a cytokine storm is. We're going to get into that in just a minute. The government is planning for mass death, and they're being prepared. And we're going to have to be prepared for it, too. They're talking about it because they know something's going on. And this is when I want to get into the cytokine storm, because a lot of this biological and chemical stuff was proposed after mistakes were made in laboratories. And that's exactly what you need to look at. It was created, H1N1 and several others were created. In fact, if you take a look at the 1918 flu, it was resurrected in a lab, and according to a 2003 briefing entitled Emerging Technologies, Genetic Engineering, Biological Weapons, Dr. Jeffrey Tannenberger, a pathologist at the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in Washington, D.C., and the head of the Institute's Division of Molecular Pathology, led a team of pathologists on the quest to find funding to resurrect the killer 1918 Spanish flu. They actually resurrected it, they made it, they force multiplied it, and they have it so they can release it onto the people. Scientists received a grant of $12.7 million to study the virus, which was part of a $1.7 billion budget in defense. If Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, or Ahmadinejad, or any of those guys were basically hiring people to create viruses, they would have been hung. Saddam Hussein was hung because he basically turned weapons on his own people. We are creating a weapon that we are going to turn on our own people, and no one gives a shit. And that's what this is. Yes. Thank you. For some people that are applauding, thank you so much. Evidence suggests that, yes, that this flu, the swine flu, was created in a lab. And more evidence is pointing towards the idea. They reconstructed the Spanish flu, they force-multiplied the Spanish flu, and it picked up other traits that mutated, and that's why we have what we have, the H1N1. When the immune system is fighting pathogens, cytokines signal immune cells, such as T cells and macrophages, to travel to the site of infection. In addition, cytokines activate those cells, stimulating them to produce more cytokines. Normally, this feedback loop is kept in check by the body. However, In some instances, the reaction becomes uncontrolled and too many immune cells are activated in a single place. The precise reason for this is not entirely understood, but many people are caused to get an exaggerated response and they die. When you hear of people dying of the swine flu is not killing them, it's the cytokine storm that is killing them. The people who died from the swine flu in Mexico were not old people. They weren't children. They were healthy individuals who had otherwise great immune systems. They just so happened to get a vaccine, and they died from the cytokine storm. No one is going to tell you about the cytokine storm on the news. We're hearing about it here first. When you start hearing about it, it's the day people start keeling over and dying from cytokine storms. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask about viruses, because don't viruses change over time on their own?
Yes, they do. And we were going to point out the fact with this here that we were going to say that, you know, the more antibiotics we give to people and the more diseases we basically immune against, the cytokine storm comes back and says, well, we've been accumulating all this power, the clouds are rolling in, and we're going to attack as another pathogen. It comes back as a different pathogen, or it comes back as a force multiplied pathogen. Okay? So H1N1 came, it went. Everybody says, oh, what you do about nothing? It's a big hoax. No, you know what happened? It's now died, and it's going to come back three times as bad the next time, because a cytokine storm is going to create an overreaction in people's immune systems, and they're literally going to drown in their own mucus. Trust me. Go ahead.
Yep. Isn't a cytokine storm, isn't it pretty related also to what they call adjutants?
Yes.
That they add to the vaccine, not the virus
right.
itself, but the chemicals that they add to the vaccine
right.
that excite your immune system.
Right, and I'll tell you about that too. Very good. Bob is way ahead of the game here. He's really doing a good job. Give him a hand. It is. They put these additives into the vaccine that when they inject it into you, it causes the body to overreact to the disease. And when that happens, then you have a cytokine storm, you have death, and you have all these things happening to people. You know, ever since penicillin was invented, ever since antibiotics were invented, we kept using antibiotics until we had resistant bacterial forms. These are bacterial forms that we were fascinated with. They look like aliens, and they attach to you, and some of them are resistant. Bacterial resistance, and we have viral resistance as well because of the fact that we go in, we try and eliminate them with the vaccines when the body is fully capable of taking them on and killing them because we are strong enough. What we do is then we put an additive or some sort of a vaccine into us. It kills us because our body overreacts. And you know what's scary about cytokine storms is they don't happen all overnight. Some do. Some take up to a year to 2 years to take place. So people could get their vaccination. Everybody says, nothing to worry about. I got mine. I'm alive. 6 months to a year later, they die of pneumonia. And no one knows why. It's because they had a cytokine storm. Something mixed with the adjuvants and basically killed them. That's what happened with the soldiers in World War I. The pertussis vaccination had problems with the chlorine gases that they used during the war and killed the soldiers with the Spanish flu. Go ahead.
Is this also related to the big upsurge in allergies people are
yes,
having?
Yes, that's exactly right, because allergies force multiply. Take a look at this. The Black Plague has returned from the 14th century, and it's become stronger in China. And the reason why is because they vaccinated against it. It was a bacteria, and they decided they were going to do everything they can to clean and to get people to be injected against it, feeling fine. Didn't work. It's come back even stronger now. And also smallpox has come back to China as well. Stimulating the immune system with a vaccine is far different from contracting an infection naturally. Vaccines are made of multiple components, for example, the biological agent you wish to vaccinate against, like the measles, preservative systems, extraneous proteins, surfactants like Tween 80, and an immune system booster called an immune adjuvant. These adjuvants are typically things such as suspended, practically insoluble aluminum compounds, as well as MSG, lipid compounds, thimerosal, and other mercury compounds. In general, these adjuvants are chosen to elicit intense generalized immune system reactions that last for an extended period of time. They jack your immune system for a long period of time. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention, I just saw the other day where in Nigeria there's now a polio epidemic that they have admitted is caused by the polio vaccine that
exactly.
was contaminated that they
and
gave.
It's really interesting that you should bring that up. I was reading some science fiction story, and I can't remember which, but polio made a comeback because of the vaccine. And those who were immune against it got it because the vaccine was dormant, and then the immunodeficiency happened later on, and it happened because of a cytokine storm. A few people, many doctors, countless people have believed that the cover-up by the CDC to hide the facts they knew about the dangers of the vaccines. Did you know that we give our children 23 viruses before they reach the age of 5? Did you know that autism skyrocketed after the addition of more vaccines on the compulsory schedule? And did you know that these vaccines contain dimerosal, which is ethyl mercury? Just before President Bush signed the Homeland Security Bill into law, an unknown member of Congress added a provision into the legislation that blocks lawsuits against the maker of a controversial mercury-based vaccine preservative called dimerosal. They use it in vaccines that are given to children. Has Obama done anything to change this? No. In fact, he's made it easier for people to block lawsuits like Baxter International. Baxter International is the ones giving us our swine flu vaccine, and they are immune from any kind of lawsuits. La Gloria was the place where the swine flu happened in Mexico. That was last December. Baxter International's Austria branch sent out 72 kilos of what was supposed to be a batch of ordinary human H3N2 flu, altered so it would not replicate, to another Austrian research company, Avira Green Hills Biotechnology. Turns out, what Baxter International had actually sent out was a live avian flu virus. In spite of that colossal screw-up, Baxter International was presented the swine flu virus in June 2009 by the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. They also announced that they would be ready to ship by the end of July, early August, a vaccine for a virus just obtained from the Centers for Disease Control in June. Who would have thought it? They had this planned. Go ahead, Catherine.
Not only that, but they had the patent for the vaccine before the H1N1 or H5N1, a year before anything was announced about the
That's exactly swine right.
bird flu.
Thank you, Catherine. Give her a hand for that. They already had the patent on this because they knew it was going to be released. This is planned, people. It's planned. That's why when people say, oh, it's a big hoax, it's not a hoax. This is what they're going to do. This is what they're going to use. According to reports in the mainstream media, which has no reason to lie about a particular detail, this strain of influenza contains viral code fragments from human influenza, bird flu from North America, swine flu from Europe, swine flu from Asia. That would mean that an infected bird from North America would have to have infected a pig in Europe, then be reinfected by those some pigs with an unlikely cross-species mutation that allowed the bird to carry it again. Then that bird would have to fly to Asia, infect pigs there, and those Asian pigs then mutated the virus once again while preserving the European swine and bird elements to become human transmittable. And then a human would have to catch the virus from an Asian pig in Mexico and spread it to others in order to assist the World Health Organization in developing a new vaccine, reaping billions of dollars in the process. And I'm a fucking conspiracy theorist! Jesus Christ. Do you guys realize we're being lied to by applause? Come on. Go ahead.
I always knew there was a danger in frequent flyer miles.
No kidding. Veterinarians found out years ago that in many cases they were over-immunizing pets, a syndrome that they call vaccinosis. It overwhelmed the immune systems of animals, causing innumerable physical and neurological disorders. Sound familiar? Yeah. Well, if you can over-immunize a dog, then why is it that we think we can't over-immunize our kids? We can. And we are going to. With 49% mercury in the vaccines that will cause a cytokine storm in some children. Are children worthy and is worth as much consideration as a pet? I think so. But your government does not. Officials should quit using scare tactics to infer a risk to the vaccine program as a whole. The issue is not only the vaccines, but it's the preservatives as well. And it's not just limited to childhood vaccines. Dimerosal, along with immune adjuvants like aluminum and squalene, is in other products given to unsuspecting victims. The flu vaccine is probably the most universally used product that still contains the preservative thimerosal. Go ahead.
though overimmune is immunization is a concern,
right.
That doesn't mean not to get your pets or children vaccinated at all.
Don't get them vaccinated at all.
It just means that you should go by what your child or your pet is telling you. It's not don't get them vaccinated at all. You should still get them vaccinated.
Mm-mm.
Just not to the extent that necessarily no. veterinarians are telling you to. Once no. a year is too much. The reason that it's once a year is because they don't have enough studies in order to tell you how long that vaccination actually lasts. They haven't put the effort in order to tell you how long that vaccination lasts.
Cool. Go ahead, Bob. You want to comment about her?
I would just disagree because I think vaccines are one of the biggest hoaxes ever perpetrated.
They're really not.
No.
And I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you. There's a case. There's a group of children in Chicago. I think they're Amish. But their religion prevents us. It's like 20,000 plus kids, none of them vaccinated in the school system. None of them get polio. They're the healthiest kids around.
Do you know why? And
why? Because they've
they're
never had vaccinations.
Any of the others. They're not around any of the genes.
That's not
they
true.
Interbreed
they're,
with
they're,
each
they're,
other.
They live in the city. They're not isolated that way.
They interbreed with each other. The Amish actually interbreed with each other. Not that they interbreed necessarily with other family members, because they don't. They believe strongly against that. However, they still interbreed with other Amish. Therefore, just as the Jews have the Tsatsaki virus, because they've interbred with each other amongst European Jews.
Oh, you're talking a genetic gene there. I mean,
that's
genetic.
Correct.
I'm talking about common diseases that go that come
common
around.
Common diseases aren't necessarily common. Common
so,
microbiology
the
you study.
I have a question.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What's your name?
Lonnie.
If the government comes to you and forces you to take the H1N1 virus, will you take it?
I would want to know exactly what's in it, exactly what it prevents.
I'm telling you what's in it.
Tell me what's in it.
Yeah, adjuvants, thimerosal, squalene, and also a virus. It's a three-stage process. You will get three shots, one to kill your immune system, one to give you the disease, and one to jack up your immune system.
Once I do my own research, that might be a different story. If I am mandated to take something that I cannot do my own research on, I would probably move out of country.
Okay, well, then you're going to be moving out of the country. I promise you. Okay, you're going to be moving out of the country. So get your bags packed now. You're going to be leaving in October. I promise you. If this is how you really feel, you're going to be moving away. Because they're going to make it a mandate that you get the H1N1 virus shot. You will have to get it. They will make it a mandate.
And is this in accordance with these flus?
Yes. Yes.
Because so far the flu virus is only counteract certain strains. It does not counteract all the strains.
Exactly, but they're going to give it to you anyway because they want to make sure that you're pretty much taken care of. And the last time they did, they killed a lot of people. So like I said, get ready to move. Or get ready to pack up and move to a concentration camp because that's where they're going to move you to. They will. You ever seen The Stand?
I don't know about to that extent.
Oh, it will. Trust me. Trust me. They did it to the Jews and the Palestinians. They'll do it to you, too. You'll be a refugee in your own country. They'll do it. They'll do it because, and not only that, if you don't take the vaccine, you may not be hired for a job. They'll go against all HIPAA violations as well. They'll break all the codes because they don't want you working around people giving your germs to anybody else. Do you remember the AIDS scare? Do you remember the AIDS scare?
Yes.
Do you remember how many people were shunned away when it was found out they had HIV? Well, you know what? Same thing's going to happen if you have the swine flu or you're suspected of having the swine flu or you don't get a vaccination. No one's going to want to talk with you because they're going to make it damn good and sure that they're going to make the propaganda scary enough to make you force other people into the vaccination. I'm serious. Go ahead.
I mean, what I suspect is going to happen is there's going to be a mass outbreak where a lot of people are going to die, and they're going to publicize the hell out of it.
Well, what they're going to be publicizing is the cytokine storms. They're not going to publicize the fact
No. You're absolutely right.
Right.
You know, but people are going to die, and that's going to scare people into taking this.
Oh, yeah.
But all I can say, the bottom line on all this, is people cannot believe that this plan is so evil, people cannot believe their own government would do this to them.
Oh, I know. I mean, the government...
And they can't wrap their minds around that.
Whatever price you can come up with for this shot, multiply it by 80 million doses, and that's what you'll get, is the price of this. And here's the deal. You know, the government is spending all this money on this, and you're going to have to comply with it. I mean, they're not going to be wasting all that money on you if you're not going to comply. Go ahead.
Where's my Lysol spray?
I know, no kidding.
No, wait. As soon as there are mass deaths, people will run to the nearest source to get the shot.
Oh, I know. Take a look at this. This is a WMCW report. A television station in Portland, Maine recently aired what can arguably be called the worst-case scenario with regard to the H5N1 possible pandemic, H1N1 as well. The report showed a drill where National Guard troops would be called in for riot control in case a raid for vaccinations takes place. Guard troops conducted urban warfare drills with pepper spray, guns, and tasers. The question here is whether or not they're planning for people begging for the inoculation or planning people rebelling against taking it. I think it's the other way around. I do. I mean, it's both. With all we know about the vaccines and the vaccination process, we're really supposed to believe that we're going to fight for this vaccination? I don't think so. That we're going to put children in harm's way? I don't think so. It could be that this drill is for enforcement of the vaccine and not the quelling riots of people who are trying to get it, but people who are trying to avoid it. And that's what I think is happening. They want the entire population to get the vaccines. In fact, they're having vaccine drills right now in schools. They're lining kids up, giving them hand cleaner to remind them that they have to get the vaccine. They're already preparing them to take the Kool-Aid. This is like Jonestown. Okay, go ahead.
I will be drinking the Kool-Aid.
What's that?
I will be drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, I
will
receive.
Hush. I will be receiving the vaccine. I have to, because they own me. They pay me. I live on their money. They can take it all away. You have a choice. I have a choice if I want to live on the streets. Some of us have to comply with the law.
Well, and I'm not going to think any less of you.
Well,
or
really?
Any more of you.
Oh, you won't?
No, why should I? If you have to take it, you have to take it. If I have to take it, I have to take it. It's not going to be
but
a judgment call.
But you're encouraging us not to take it.
I am encouraging you not to take it because it can kill you.
To suffer that fate.
To suffer what fate? You have a choice.
Concentration camps.
You have a choice.
Well,
you have a choice.
I do have a choice.
Yeah, you can have a choice and take your chances, okay?
I'm
not expecting you to do anything that you're not capable of doing. So if you're thinking
oh,
for one
capable.
Minute I'm going to think differently
oh,
of you.
Oh, I am capable of it.
Sure.
It's just that I feel that there is a lot less risk than you are implying.
Oh, no, there's not. Trust me.
That stuff is in all the vaccines, and I've had them all. I'm a veteran.
But
and
not
I'm
like
still
this.
Here.
But not like this.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Oh, really? Okay. But I don't want to get into your medical history here.
No, I'm not getting into
this.
My medical history. I'm telling you that they've been poisoning us with vaccines all our lives.
Right.
This is not different just because it's in three stages. So is the Gardasil vaccine.
Listen, there are people who I know that have Gulf War syndrome and they got it from a vaccine. It may not affect you the same way it's going to affect anybody else, and that vaccine may not affect you. When I got my vaccines for cancer, I had to be held.
You don't have vaccines for
yes,
cancer.
Yes, I did. I got vaccine against pneumonia.
That's
I got
against
vaccine
pneumonia,
against flu.
Not cancer.
No, I got
Glide.
Vaccine against pneumonia because they didn't want me to cough my guts out, and I
okay.
could not
never,
handle.
Never, never
I couldn't handle the immunization. Go immunization. Go ahead.
Okay, I have to tell you. My stepbrother died from the vaccinations that he got for Gulf War I. He was in the Air Guard out of Portland. He died 2 years ago over long term. Slowly his body degenerated, and he died at 39, a painful, slow death because of the vaccinations they made him take before he went into the... He was based in Turkey, and all he did was work on ejection seats out of jets, okay?
Right.
Out of fucking fighters.
Right.
And he died of these vaccines.
Right.
I know he died of them. He would never blame the government, but that's the only thing he ever did.
With true due respect to your brother, he had to. He chose to go in the military, so did I. And I know, yes, and I know it sucks, but that's the way it is for some of us.
Well, if I would be the betting man, I would bet that you probably don't even have to face the fucking shot, and I'll tell you why, because they're giving it to kids first before they ever give it to you.
Doesn't matter, really.
They're giving
We're
it to kids.
We're all people.
Well, I know. But the truth is that I'm going to avoid taking the shot at all costs. In fact, I'm going to find out what they gave me when I had cancer so I can say that I don't need the shot.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to do it myself. Let's hear you get wrapped up because the band's getting ready to play. Go ahead, Bob, quickly.
They're getting ready to give 20,000 kids in Oklahoma the flu vaccine.
Right.
And I wouldn't be at all surprised for propaganda purposes if all these kids weren't simply injected with saline.
Yeah, well,
and made it look like
or without adjuvants. Did you know that some of the vaccines that are giving now in the trials do not have adjuvants to them? Yeah. They don't have the squalene and they don't have the mercury.
Those will be much safer.
Yeah, they are much safer. You know, you can also provide statutory medical exemptions. 48 states religious exemptions, and 19 more have philosophical exemptions to not get the disease to get it. However, they can still, with what I talked about, override your First Amendment, your 14th Amendment right to avoid the vaccine. So be advised that you do have a way to get out of it if you wish. Go ahead quickly.
You know, a lot of progressives were starting to worry they're taking the public option away, but tonight you've reinforced that there is a very strong public option going on.
There is, yes. Go ahead.
If you don't want the vaccine, you could do Charlton Heston and say, from my cold, dead vein.
Yeah, there. Thank you for that one, too. Go ahead quickly. Yeah.
Oh, perhaps maybe they'll just make all children autistic and less likely to reproduce.
Oh, thank you for that. That's pretty. That's an interesting thing to say. God, that was very good. My opinion is this. It's not a vaccination we're going to be experiencing. It's going to be a red flag operation for our children to be in the crosshairs. Requirements for the flu vaccinations are equivalent of lining up for the suicidal Kool-Aid in Jonestown. Remember, the kids were crying because it burned as it went in, not because they were dying. Go ahead.
Think they'll slip that chip in on us while they're at it?
I don't know. I'm not that paranoid. I don't want to die from it. Here's some facts for you I want to tell you quickly. 80% of when you're sick are not flu. A lot of it has to do with allergies. A lot of it has to do with bacterial infections. Wash your hands. Take care of yourself. Vaccinations bring down your immune system for as long as 2 years. You may develop a few antibodies to the target of the vaccine, but most of the time you're targeted with the virus, and the virus usually is not going to be your problem. You're going to get hit with something else twice as hard than the virus you got vaccinated against. Seasonal flu viruses mutate so fast your vaccination won't even work. In fact, that H1N1 will mutate so damn fast you're going to hit with a cytokine storm. If you're not careful, you'll end up dying. In fact, it takes approximately a year for the effects of the adjuvant poisons and vaccines to fully manifest themselves because that much time passes before the nervous system and brain deplete the reserves of squalene that are out of reach of the immune system, and only after the reserves are gone will your cell injury begin. If you start feeling yourself falling apart, people become autistic, they get mental illness, they lose their sexual function, many of them become autistic, they die. It's a slow process. I mean, there are many examples of cytokine storms. One is the AIDS virus. What happened? There were gay men that were getting vaccinated against hepatitis B. What happened? It mutated. It became HIV, and later it became AIDS, an immunodeficiency virus. It is a product of an accidental cytokine storm that was injected into people and killed off a group of the gay population and the heterosexual population, and the government used it as a tool to keep you from reproducing. Don't have sex unless you want AIDS. Wear a condom. What does that do? That stops the population from growing. It's part of the eugenics control systems. Sleeping with the enemy. The vaccination will go in 3 stages. They will deliver the vaccine. The first injection weakens your immune system. The second adds the virus. And the third reactivates your immune system in order to kill it. It is in the 3rd stage that people with healthy immune systems can wind up in a cytokine storm. First, the lungs will fill with fluid and the internal organs fail. People literally drown in their own mucus. There is one other instance where a 3-stage shot gives such a savage fatality, and that is during the lethal injection procedure for a condemned person. Many people will not ever realize that when receiving a vaccine, it is Russian roulette, and someone might end up getting the death penalty as they gasp their last breath in the midst of a cytokine storm. I would like you to give a big hand to Janine Duffy for co-writing this show tonight. Give her a hand for this. She also did a lot of the images tonight as well. A number of the things you heard tonight were written previously. The Harm Principle, FEMA Unmasked, written by me in 2005. Genome 666, Project Purity, March 2009, here at the Ground Zero Lounge. Kool-Aid 666, 2009, that is on the ZeroPointRadio.com website. For those of you that paid attention tonight, you're well-armed and well-informed. I would expect you to go home, get on the internet, read books, go to the library. To the rest of you that don't give a shit about what I'm saying, you're on your own, and when you get your injection, don't come crying when you're in the midst of a cytokine storm, because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll hand you a Kleenex. Thank you from the Ground Zero Lounge. We'll see you next week. Take care.